Good morning. Welcome. A couple announcements. We had our meeting yesterday, annual meeting, and if I can find it. One of the things we voted on are the expansion project, and we voted to move forward with that, so we're moving forward with that. Board members, the officers, Tom, chairman, myself, vice chair, Kelvin, secretary, Janelle, treasurer, and the trustees were Craig, Steve Bergstrom, Terry, Vaughn, and Trevor. That's all the things I had on the meeting. And Roy will be doing the psalm reading this morning, and Tom the prayer and the message. Any other announcements? Okay, we'll start with three.
Yeah. The psalm reading today is Psalm 41 to 11. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us ward. They cannot be reckoned upon up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I become. In the volume of the book as it is written to me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me.
Good morning. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Dear merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, another day of grace. Father, we come to you on this Lord's Day, thankful. Thankful for the weather. Thankful for the congregation that you have given us. Thankful for the church that is yours. Thankful for the gifts that you've given the body. Thankful for the struggles that you've given us individually so that we can turn to you in faith, knowing that we have an answer, not only in your word, but through your spirit. Father, we are thankful for the fellowship that we have. We are thankful for the direction that you've given us in this church. We ask that you would have the course that is necessary for us, not only individually, but as a body. The path that we need to go on is the path that you have set before us. Give us that courage to take steps forward on that path and not resist that path, but be bold and confident that your path is the only path. Not that we would look behind us or look ahead, but we would be steadfast and looking as we walk, and at the same time listening to that still small voice, that direction from that Holy Spirit, so that we would move in your kingdom and move your kingdom forward to the direction you want it. Father, we thank you for the ability to worship you in a free country. We thank you for our leaders that are godly. And we thank you for giving us the ability to not only pray, but to listen. Father, this is a fearful and beautiful place to be in your presence. And we ask you to help us this day glorify you through the word, so that the word would be preached in a way that produces fruit and bears fruit. We need your help for that. And we thank you for the privilege to be able to do it on this day. And Father, we thank you for that perfect prayer that your Son has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Grace that God.
May the grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love be with you always to the ends of the earth. The text that I chose is in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. We'll read that, but before we read that, there's a few. I have 4 points, and I'll just read them first before, and I'll add a point because it's important that that gets added. The points of the text is, number one, what does born again look like? Number two, the born again or being reborn is the doctrine of regeneration. Number three, if you are not born again, you will not see the kingdom of God nor enter into it. And number four, it's an act of God, so we can be transformed and also be able to bear much fruit in his kingdom. And number five is what Roy just read in Psalm 40. So I would definitely reflect on that, and I would save probably a half an hour to 40 minutes of time if we just read that those 11 verses. Because it has so much context to what this text is saying. So we'll read it, and we'll have some references, and we'll go through it. And let's do that. Starting in chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh. And whether it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Then whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Sanctify these words, Father, for thy truth, for thy words are truth. What does born again look like? Well, let's go back to the text, and we will be reading in other texts. You guys could go to Ezekiel 36, verse 22, and also we'll be reading Ezekiel 37, 3 to 6. But we'll just start with here. There was a man in the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So what Nicodemus was saying is he had experienced through word of mouth or himself these miracles that Jesus was doing all over the place. And he concluded in his heart, there's no way this can happen unless this rabbi, this person, this Jesus Christ has come from God. So he concluded that in his heart. He understood that. But there was something that he was doing that was almost not Christian, and that was he was visiting Jesus by night. He wasn't totally sure. And he didn't want to be seen of other people that he's going to this teacher who's, by in most accounts, was heretical and wasn't teaching the truth. The gospel of Jesus Christ wasn't really being something that was supported in the area. So he would go by night to try to learn more from this. Why? Because he saw the miracles, number one. Number two, he said there's no way the devil would do this, basically. It's got to be God. So he was curious. And when I read this text, I have to say something because some people might think that I don't believe that Nicodemus was saved. I'm just going to clarify that, right? I think Nicodemus was saved for one reason. He was with Joseph of Arimathea at the burial. He loved Jesus. So in reading the text and his doubts here is because he hadn't been born again yet. He hadn't been changed. He hadn't received the grace that enters the heart through a broken and contrite heart that is lowly. He hadn't received that yet. But he was curious because of the miracles, and he also wanted to learn more. The seed was planted. Grace hasn't entered yet. That's why he was doubting. So what does born again look like? Let's go to the 36th chapter of Ezekiel. I've got a new Bible, so bear with me. Just got to remember yellow is Ezekiel on my tabs. Chapter 36, verse 22, and we'll read to 38, and then we'll read 7:3-6 with the thought this is what born again looks like. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine, my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify or set apart my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned, meaning that you were part of the heathen, in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified, set apart in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries. I'll read that again. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn, and will increase and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply fruit of the tree, and I will increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach or of famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. I'm going to reread this. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. You will recognize your depravity. You will recognize how depraved you are. You will recognize how evil you are. Now for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you, until you be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will cause you to dwell in the cities, and in the wastes shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by. And the desolate land shall be tilled. It's going to be changed. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like a garden of Eden. And the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feasts, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. There's a change taking place, and God's doing the change. Verse 37, 3-6. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay my sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. For grace to enter in, and this is part of what Roy spoke on, a heart has to be broken and contrite. It has to be lowly. And when grace enters that heart is changed, and you're given a new heart, and it's sprinkled, and it's clean, and it's moldable by God. He becomes the author and finisher of your faith. With grace entering into the heart of the person that it hasn't entered in before, that grace enters in because it is broken and lowly, because it is contrite, because it is in need of help. So grace goes into the heart, and then the hearing of the word produces faith. And this is the process of regeneration. This happens to the hearts. And this gets back to our text if we read it. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom, cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus means, the name is basically victory of the people. It's kind of interesting. Victory of the people. Who's the victor of the people? Jesus Christ. And his name is Victory of the People. And this is a man that comes to Jesus by night. And he's questioning how this can possibly be. So he's not sure. So if we keep reading, we look and we say, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Ephesians 5. We'll read from 24 to 27. It's Ephesians 5, 24 to 27. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he may sanctify it, set it apart, cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Why? That he might present to it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Washing of water by the word. How does the washing of water by the word work? When you read the word of God, when you talk about the word of God, when you receive the word of God through the Holy Spirit, it cleanses you. Because of the person and work of Jesus Christ. It cleans you. It convicts you. It uplifts you. It puts Jesus on a different level. Way above you. Way above me. It's God is at a different realm. And what do we recognize in ourselves? Because we've been born again. We're lowly, broken, and contrite. But we're alive in Jesus Christ. Alive meaning we have a desire to talk about Jesus. We have a desire to tell everyone about our brother, about our Savior, about our God. And that desire isn't something you conjure up. That desire is because of the love of Christ, what he did on the cross, the gospel message. Romans 7 talks about it. It talks about your sins being imputed to him in his flesh. If we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 15, and it's from 40 to 58, if you go there and you look at that, it's talking about the future kingdom. But like Hebrews chapter 11, Corinthians, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, by the way, sorry. I said 2nd. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It is talking about the future, but it also has a direction towards what born again is. There is one glory of the sun, one and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, and it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. So this is talking future, but it's also talking what happens to you when you're born again. It is sown in corruption. We were corrupt. We are depraved. We are without God. We are totally corrupt. How is it raised in incorruption? Through grace by faith. And that is a supernatural work of God. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in a natural body, which is a carnal body, which we are born in. We are born in sin. It is raised a spiritual body, it is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The last Adam is Jesus Christ. He is the quickening spirit. In John, it talks about the light of God that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. There is a light there. Has it been quickened by Jesus Christ? That's the question. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. First of all, we have the natural, and then we have the spiritual. We're not born spiritual. We're born in iniquity and sin, and that's what we're born in. We're not born. That's the natural. That's our natural body. That has to be changed. So it says, the first man is of the earth, and which is the natural, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, which is depraved, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, which is Christ, the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. This is talking about the future. You're being changed into the body that you get in heaven. But it's also talking about the time on earth where you have been changed. You will be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and shall be changed. The process of the person that is reborn is a process. There is a time in your life where a change takes place, where you recognize that Jesus is your all in all, where you recognize that He is the most important person in your life, that He is the bridegroom and you are the bride. That will take place. He will be more important than anyone else. For the corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall put on incorruption and the mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. And your labor is not in vain in the work of the Lord. Why is it not in vain in the work of the Lord? Because your work is the faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's the work. He is authoring and finishing your faith. This change takes place at some point. Philippians 3. We'll look at that. 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able to subdue all things unto Himself. When does this happen? When does he subdue all things unto himself? When does the change take place? The moment that you are changed, the moment that you recognize that Jesus Christ is everything, heaven is there. That's when heaven starts. Is your conversation predominantly about the eternal home or heaven? Have you been subdued by Jesus Christ? Those are questions that this kind of brings forth. So we go back to our text here, and it says, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again." And this is where he's trying to teach Nicodemus something. He's trying to get to his level. Lower his level. So, okay, this is a man, Nicodemus, who is ruler of the Jews. He is not a stupid person. He is very intelligent. He is knowledgeable. He knows things. So when it says, "Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again," he's saying this is important. And then he's getting, okay, I'm going to make it simple for you. You notice the wind, it blows. And you hear the wind, or you hear the trees, or you see the branches move. You see that? You understand that? Nicodemus, are you getting this? It's layman's terms, is what he's trying to show him. And then Nicodemus answered and says to him, "How can these things be?" Or, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou the master of Israel and know it's not these things? Aren't you the ruler, the master of Israel, and you still don't understand what I'm trying to say to you? Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know, we testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness." This is where you see that Nicodemus isn't totally sold on the idea, because Jesus says so. "You test and testify that we have seen. This is what my disciples say. This is the true Christians. Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know, we testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. You don't believe it. If I have told you, I just explained to you about the wind. Now, how am I going to explain to you heavenly things if you don't even understand? The wind blows, branches move. Okay, I get that. I get that. But you don't understand. A broken and contrite heart that's lowly, grace can enter. It can't enter into a heart that is self-righteous, a heart that is self-confident, a heart that is, "I'm going to take myself, I'm going to do this, I'm going to," a heart that pulls up their own bootstraps. It's not going to enter there, because it's not relying. It's not needed. The heart is not open to it. God has to change that heart. That has to happen. The Ezekiel chapter 36 has to happen. And God makes it happen. The regeneration process is because God has ordained it and has started it and finished it and perfected it. But there's a problem. We want to help ourselves. We want to be able to, I'm not lowly in heart. I can take care of this myself. I'm going to handle this myself. God's going to get you to a point where you are lowly in heart, broken and contrite. Grace will enter. When that happens, you will have faith and you will be open to receiving the faith of the gospel message. Without that, you are stuck to your own energy and your own works. And this process is important. So it says, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou the master of Israel and knowest all these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall I believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, which was Jesus Christ, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. It's interesting that he says this, because Enoch was translated to heaven, and Elijah. But it's saying this for some reason, and I don't really understand it, so I'm not going to pretend I do. But it's pointing to this, and Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. How have you lifted up Jesus Christ? How have I lifted up Jesus Christ? He has to be preeminent in our lives. He has to be first. And it's not just talk. It actually is because you've changed. It's not just because I'm doing this or that. It's because the heart has been changed. Repentance is happening every day. What is repentance? You're changing. You're growing. You're recognizing that Jesus is Lord, and also, oh, he's also that. He's also that. And then it adds, so my mercies and grace are every day. He has to be merciful and gracious to us every day. Why? Because he's chosen us out of darkness into his magnificent light. First Peter chapter 2, 9 to 11. Or 9 and 10, I guess. See something first. Bear with me. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now a people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So, he's taken you out of darkness into his magnificent light, and he's promised to give you mercy and grace every day. Why? Because we sin every day. Why does he offer mercy and grace? Because we sin every day. And the sin doesn't point to how sinful we are. The sin points to the fact that Christ died for those sins 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, and he said, "It is finished." The sins that you committed were put on that cross, condemned in his flesh, and what happened? You were imputed his righteousness. So there's a double imputation, basically. You have contributed to your salvation. Your sin. He gets your sin, you get his righteousness. And the Christian just goes, How does that work? How does that work? God wants his Son, Jesus Christ, to have brothers and sisters. You're the gift. You're the gift to his Son. We'll close with these following verses. And it says, "I've told you earthly things, and believe not, you shall believe if I tell you heavenly things." Go to the 14th verse, I guess. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Do you lift up Christ to others? How is that possible? And basically, I've pretty well said it. He means everything. This life is not about you. This life is about Him in every way. Everything you do is about Him. Everything you walk, every step you take is about Him. Every path you choose is about Him. Every direction you go is about Him. I like what one pastor says. There's only one hero in this story. Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Let's close with 458.